We are blessed. Amen? So keep praying. Don't ever stop praying. Because Jesus is in your life and he's in control if you let him. I want to talk to you this morning about the first Christmas. Now, we don't have anything written. Well, we do. We kind of have some things written. But I'm not from this perspective. Ponderings from within the manger. You got to remember that Jesus was still God, fully God, and fully man. So he's laying in this manger. What is he thinking? You ever thought about that? Like Pastor, Reverend Pastor Dan and Carter came up here, and Carter just, he's just a dude, man. He's just looking around all over the place. Everything's kind of new to him. Everything's kind of new to Jesus, except everything that's new to him, he created. Right? So how do you think he was thinking? Let's go kind of look at this. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And we'll go on in that chapter, but we're going to bounce around a bit. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. It almost sounds like double talk, but in other words, there isn't a thing. There isn't a thing that was made that he didn't make. Jesus. He's the Word. So here he is coming to earth as one of his creation, laying in a manger, actually going through the birth process. And there he's lying, defenseless, this little dude. But all the angels, he knew the angels that came. Like, he knew them. Well, he's only, like, brand new, but he still knew them. Can you get that picture? So he's lying in this manger. And then it says, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So there's this big, swampy, ugly mess that had no form or shape or anything, and it was just chaotic. It was just rolling around. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, Jesus created. It doesn't matter how many black holes that they find. It doesn't matter if they get right down to the Big Bang. It doesn't matter the billions and billions and billions of dollars they're spending to see if they can hear something from another planet, or if they can land a little spaceship recorder on a meteor to find out where we came from. This is where we came from. It doesn't cost very much to get a Bible anymore. You can find out where we came from. Jesus came to earth, the earth that he created. And so back to John chapter 1, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is no fear in darkness, or in light, I mean. There's lots of fear in darkness. We're all aware of that. But there is no fear in the light. And when he is the light, then there's no fear. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. I think I got 27 on there. Just follow me. I got my notes all mixed up here. We'll start with this. 1 chapter, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Think about it. Look around this room. You're all created in the image of God. When you looked in the mirror this morning, and you were either happy or unhappy with what you saw coming back at you. And it probably improved as you, the longer you stayed in there with all the little things we can put on our faces and the razors that we can do. I'm talking to the gals. I'm going to talk to the... I didn't want to say that. I want to talk to the guys right now, okay? But, you know, we can improve on some of this flesh. But we're created in the image of God. Do you understand that? And then God was created in the image of man, laying in a manger. A little dude. Yeah, Jesus was a little dude like Carter. And there's other babies as well, but he's kind of he's the star of the show last night. He was created by choice in the image of man. And so I was thumbing through when I was doing this to get this little picture to put on my slides, I mean, there's pictures of baby Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes. Come on. Like, in the manger. Like, I don't think so. I really don't think so. But I do know who took those photographs. It wasn't from anyone from the East, that's for sure. Come on. Genesis 2:7 says this, "Then the Lord formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed not into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." You know, people say, well, you know, say to me, "Caruso, you're in your 60s, now you're older than dirt." Well, really, that's where I came from. I can't help that. You're just a bunch of dirt. And when we die, that's what we become, is a bunch of dirt. But can you imagine? Like, I kind of go over this in my head. We read this and we go, oh, yeah, well, God just scraped a bunch of dirt together, made it, formed it out. You've done this yourself when you were a kid. Make a shape and then made some lips and blew into it. Like, how do you do that? How do you get life out of dirt? But he's the creator. And then through the whole process of the way that he has brought children into this world, then he chose to come down to the dirt and become one of us. Because you need to know that he knows you. You need to know that he loves you enough. I can't comprehend that he would come from glory. From glory where there's nothing wrong, where everything's beautiful and everything's eternal. And he would come down to this earth where everything is not beautiful and everything is not eternal. It's temporal. And he would come because he loves us. Back to John. Verse 6 and 7, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that we might all believe. He came to that which was not his own, but his own did not receive him. He himself was not the light. He came as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone who comes into the world." So John the Baptist, who when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, John the Baptist, I don't know how many, maybe 6 months along, leapt inside her womb. Like, he just jumped up, spread his arms out, did a few jump ups or jumping jacks. I don't know what he did, but I'm sure Elizabeth kind of felt that strange thing. And he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you got to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the way we Pentecostals think. Come on. He couldn't pray. God is divine. He can do anything he wants. He filled John with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, filled him with the Holy Spirit so that he could be the forerunner for Jesus. Because John was not the light, but Jesus is the light. And we go back to Genesis again. "Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light." Let there be light. Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And there was nothing. There was no light before. And then there was light. And everything was created after in the light. Everything was created after in Jesus, who is the light of the world. Back to John chapter 1, it says, He is in the world, and through the world, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him, yet all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Every one of you, every one of you was conceived in the physical way. Every one of you. But there's another birth. And, you know, I just think about what we've done over the last couple of years since I've been a pastor here, is we just focused on Jesus. All the worship is Jesus. All the sermons are Jesus. You know why? Because it's about Jesus. Because Jesus can do something in your life that no one else can. Honestly, there's no other religion, there is no other man, there's no other philosophy, there's nothing else in this world. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. That's the only way. It's kind of narrow-minded, but when you're right, it's okay. You can afford to be narrow-minded when you're right. In Romans, it says this, For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship or daughtership. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Well, that's kind of the King James maybe NIV, New American Standard way of saying it, but I never called my dad father. I called him dad. And we need to get into that relationship where we are sons and daughters of God, and we can just sit down and say, hey, dad. I mean, if your culture says that you say father, that's fine, but you need to know the familiar way of approaching your father is the way that God wants you to approach Him. Just that simple. There's no like, oh, I have to cower a bit, or I have to do something. I have to be perfect. I have to have a shower before I go see Him. I got to have all these things right. No, you don't have to have anything right. All you have to do is be willing to go. And if you're willing to go, He's willing to receive you. Because the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's kids. We are God's kids. Isn't that great? Ever wanted to belong to a different family than the one you're born in? Come on. Don't stand up and tell me because your parents might be here. But, you know, you just kind of like, well, I'd like to be in that family because they got lots of money. I'd like to be in that family because they own a farm. I'd like to be in that family because they travel lots. I'd like to be in that family because they make spaghetti every Sunday. That's what, you know, I mean, it's something or, you know, they're better looking than our family. Or half of them aren't in jail, you know, like, you know. Like, I'd rather be some other family. I'll tell you, you are in some other family because you belong to the family of God, and that's the best family. You are part of the family of God. You've been adopted. Adoption's better than being born. Well, you got to be born to be adopted, obviously. But I learned that in my first pastorate. I had a guy who was adopted, and he says to me, he says, you know, Caruso, they always call me by my last name. I don't know why, but. Caruso, it's too bad you were born into your family. He says, because I was adopted in mine. And that means that these people went through and they looked over a bunch of kids and they said, that one there is the one we want. I was the one that they got. You know, it was, and you know that. And as parents, you know that that's the one you got. Not that that's wrong, but I thought of the significance of when you're adopted, someone has said, you are special above everyone else. And that's exactly what God said through the Spirit of God, that you are his children, adopted. So, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're God's children, we're heirs. That's the only reason I really wanted to move into somebody else's family, because they had lots of stuff. And I knew that I would be an heir. Like, and if I could be the executor of the wills, then you get 5% more. You're an heir. Listen to this. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs. Do you know what that means? That everything that Christ has, you get the same. Do you understand that? Or do you just kind of think, well, that's just kind of some kind of cool religious talk? That's not cool religious talk. It's that Jesus Christ has created all things, is above all things, owns all things. It says in Psalm 24 that he owns the earth and all the fullness thereof. Right? So everything in this world belongs to him. I remember when I was welding and I was out in the field and I wanted to drive an ambulance, and I probably told you this story before, but I was out there with this guy and I was putting some goalposts up, and I was welding away and I saw an ambulance go by, and I said to the guy, and he's not a Christian guy, and I says, you know what, in a year I'm going to be driving one of those ambulances. And I'm in a small town and I'm like a zero education guy, and he's going like, yeah, how do you know that? And I says, well, because my dad owns the ambulance service. And he goes, really? Like, I know who you are, and your dad's not even here anymore. He's died. Yeah, my dad owns, and he owns real estate, and he owns cattle. Because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And that's the way you talk when you're really believing that God can do anything. And so when I went 1 year from that day or that particular time, I went to work for the BC Ambulance Service because God opened a door for me, because I knew in my spirit that that's where he wanted me to be. And it wasn't just so I could have this awesome job, but out of 60 people I worked with, I had the opportunity to lead 12 of them to Christ. That's why we go where we go, because we're his kids and we need to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't stand there and preach, make everybody irritated by me. I just tried my best to be like Jesus, because we're his kids. So we'll just skip this next piece because it's not as much fun. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to do the suffering part? Somebody else do that for us. You know, when we suffer in whatever it is, we suffer, we actually, it's in a sense, it's separating yourself from all the things that are important, because when you're suffering, things that you think important now aren't as important. And you actually kind of hang in to Jesus. You like really hang into him. And that's a great place, because when he touches you or he ministers to you or he blesses you, then he gets the glory, right? Back to John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In the message it says, and he moved into the neighborhood. Don't you like that? Like, he lives in your neighborhood. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He lives inside of you. He lives in your neighborhood. He hangs out with you, and he wants to. You know full well there's people that don't want to hang out with you. And you know people you don't want to hang out with. But Jesus will hang out with everybody. The people you want to hang out with and the people you don't want to hang out with. He hangs, and you know that sometimes, because there's lots of people in your life that other friends love and you don't get along so well with. Right? Because he's the creator of all things, and we're all created in his image, and we're part of his family. Do you believe that? You're part of his family. So here it says that he became flesh. Look at Philippians. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That's called a hypostatic union. The spiritual connects with the physical. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. Go back to the manger. Go back to Jesus who created everything, and he's lying in that manger, and he's still fully God, and he knows that the plan was for him to come to be a baby and to grow up in this world to his early 30s. And then he knew that he would die on the cross for us. Do you have a hard time comprehending that a baby can comprehend that? Can be even contemplating that? The baby can't, but Jesus, God can, and Jesus, God, was in that manger the day when everybody came and the angels were singing. Because he knew that everybody who came, everybody before him, everybody at that time, and everybody in the future, including us, would need to be redeemed. And he was the only one. He is the only one who had sinless blood in him who could give himself as a ransom for all of us so that we might have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Father, forever and ever in eternity. Back to John chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. It says, John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Do you think about that? Jesus was born after John, but he was before him because he's identifying his deity. He's identifying who is God. "And out of his fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given." Now the law has been fulfilled. Now they're in a whole new dispensation, if you want to call it that, of grace, where it's by grace, it says in Ephesians, by grace you have been saved through faith. You believe that God did just what I said, and through this faith, grace is poured out to you. And grace is poured out lavishly, abundantly. It's poured out from this big vat. This is the way I see it. There's this big vat of grace, and Jesus crawls up this long ladder to get up into this big vat, and he's got a big ladle on his back. Now, this is the way I think. And when he gets to the top, he dips into this big vat of grace, and he pours it down on you, and you're saturated with grace. And grace is not getting what you do deserve. Isn't that amazing? "This is not from yourselves, it is the gift from God." Merry Christmas. That's the gift. "Not by works, so that no man can boast." You can't say, "Hey, you know what? Been in the church for 75 years. Been in the church, tied the whole bunch of money. I can repeat the whole book of Romans backwards." No, that's got nothing to do with your salvation. It's got everything to do with what Jesus did and what you received from him. "For we are God's handiwork." Can you imagine that we're handiwork? I've seen some handiwork of people in our church. I've seen some handiwork at craft fairs. I've seen some handiwork of engineers, and I've seen some wonderful things. And God says that we are his handiwork. Isn't that great? He is proud of us. You may not be proud of yourself, but he is proud of us, and you need to start walking in that God is proud of you. He loves you. You're created in his image, and he will do anything and everything for you if you'll just let him. So we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. We talked about calling all this last year. You got something. He's got something in your life for you to do. Some of you are doing it already, and some of you are getting ready to. It's the greatest journey you'll ever go on. Do what he wants you to do. No, don't wait. Like, well, you know, I'm going to do that when I retire. I thought I could trust God with a few things, but not with everything. So when I was a paramedic, I lived in Victoria, and yet I wanted to be in the ministry because he called me into the ministry. But I didn't really trust him that he'd meet all my needs. And so what I did is I said, here's a good plan, God. You ever done that? What I'll do is I'll bid out to a small community where I'll be the unit chief of the ambulance. Then I'll still get my wages, plus a little bit more than I was getting at that time. And I would work 5 days a week. And then on the weekends, I'd be the pastor of the church. And the church wouldn't have to worry about paying me. So, because small churches have a hard time paying their staff. So what I'll do is I'll just work for the ambulance, which would be a great connection into the community. See, I have all this planned. And it, wouldn't it be a blessing for God? Because I would even tithe off of that. So I put lots of bids out for some of the places. And I was a pretty good employee. I'd been recognized as a good employee. I never got one of those bids. And I bid into some pretty small places where nobody wanted to go. And I got mad at God. Because, see, I had this great plan for him that didn't have very much trust with him in the plan. And so finally I gave up. I said, okay, God, you probably never do this. Do what you want to do with me. And so he sent us to Dawson City in the Yukon. Well, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. And we were guaranteed $1,000 a month back then if it was there. What do you think of that kind of a guarantee? And so it wasn't always there, but he was always there. And he blessed us, and he taught us about what I was talking about this morning, that you just trust him and give, and he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. We learned that. And we learned that the more that you have, the more you give. And sometimes you give your last $100 or last $50, and you think, why am I doing that? And then God blesses you. But you bless that person who is praying that God would meet their needs as well. So he's got works that he's called you to do in advance. So he's got a plan for your lives. John chapter 1, verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, is in the closest relationship with the Father. He has made him known. This is probably an old story. It's little kids in school, and she just got her crayons out, and she's just like, she's determined. Well, she's drawing her picture. Teacher says, what are you drawing? And she says, I'm drawing a picture of God. Teacher says, no one's ever seen God. She says, they will when I'm done. That's the way we got to be. We got to be willing to believe that we can see God and that people can see him in us. And so here's a prayer about that Jesus prayed on our behalf. I want you to listen to this prayer. Chapter 17, verses 20 to 23 of John. My prayer is not for them alone. In other words, the disciples and everybody he was walking with. I also pray for those who will believe in me, though through this message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I are you in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That's a prayer of oneness. That's a prayer, that's a family prayer. That's a prayer that Jesus said for us seated here this morning, for those others in other churches and those others who are on the mission field. He said that prayer, that we will be one in him as he is one with the Father. And then in doing that, people that we talk to will believe that Jesus actually came to do what he accomplished to be done. And then he goes on and he says, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Let me just say that again as the team comes up. I have given the glory that you gave to me, that they may be one as we are one. Can I encourage you this morning to be one in Jesus Christ? One in Jesus Christ. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. We want to be unified in Jesus Christ. We don't want to be unified in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, BC Yukon District, Richmond Pentecostal Church. We want to be one in the family of God. Because one day he's coming back for us. He really is. He's really coming back. Because he already came. Did you know that? He already came. He was found in a manger. He lives within inside of us. And he's coming back to a family to catch us out of this world. And really, he doesn't want any left behind. Then Jesus says to the Father, then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you love me. We're going to finish up with a song here about the angels, which really, when you look at the original, angels means messengers. And so you're all messengers. You're all angels. How about that? It's a good feeling. Because you're blessed with this message that we just talked about. So I'm thinking that Jesus was laying in that manger, and I think because he was still fully God, that he could think about all these kind of things. Look in the face of Mary, whom he had sent that word to. Look in the face of Joseph, who would father him for quite a while. We look at those shepherds who he would already know that they went back up on the hill and let loose. He'd already know that the wise men were coming from the east, and he would already know that down through history all these things would happen, and he would already know that December 25th would fall on a Sunday and that we would gather here. Every one of you that he knows are that you're here today. And it's such a blessing that we represent his world so well. I want you to stand with me. And maybe this is the morning that you're kind of going, hey, I never really accepted him before in my life. I've thought about it, or I've been my heart's been kind of moved, and so I haven't really made that commitment. This is the day to receive the most precious gift in our whole entire lives, salvation through Jesus Christ. I never get tired of giving this invitation, because I never get tired of hearing that people have found Jesus and have a relationship with him. This is like a present under the tree. And last night we unwrapped a whole bunch of them, and many of them are from you, and we thank you so much for that. But this is the present right now that actually I've kind of shown you what's inside. You just got to peel the lid off it. Go ahead and rip the paper. That's okay. But I'm asking you in your heart that if you haven't made that decision, I want to pray, and that prayer is going to open that very present. And maybe you've made that prayer at one time and you've fallen away, and the world is closed in on you, and you're just suffocating, and you just need to say, God, I'll give it all to you. And I'll tell you something, he'll take it this morning. He'll take it all because he loves you so much. So when I say this prayer, I want you to just open that present of salvation and receive it. He's calling right now. Father, I pray right now for everyone that's standing, everyone that gathered here, who spent some time out of their busy and great festive day to make you the focus of a couple hours. And I know that they'll go home and do the same. But I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would move in this room in a very powerful way, and it would encourage those who are discouraged and those who are fearful, that fear would disappear. And those who have the need to be free from whatever it is, that they would sense the freedom through your Holy Spirit right now, setting them free. God, I pray that. I pray that they wouldn't go out of this room without knowing that you have spoken to them and that they can walk out of here full of you. Unashamed. Unashamed. Because you're not ashamed of any of us. You love us like a father loves a son and a father loves a daughter. I want you to say this prayer with me out loud, everyone. Some of you will be for the first time, and I'd love you to connect with me after if this is the first time you've ever made that prayer. Some of you made that prayer before, and like I said, you just want to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe you have some need, and you can even use this prayer to say, Lord, come in and touch me in these areas. So follow me in this prayer and say it out loud if you would. Father, this is an awesome day. We're overwhelmed that Jesus would come and become one of us. We have a lot of things to try to comprehend because of that. But we know the reason you came, Jesus. I want you to wash away my sins. I want you to redeem me. I accept your salvation gift. I thank you for all that includes. Sonship and daughtership, that you'll be the source of all my needs, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So I'm inviting you into my life right now to do that. And I thank you for loving me so deeply. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. And I receive him right now in your name. And I receive all the benefits that go with his relationship. And I give you glory in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.